everybody, welcome to episode 122 of Game Over Nation. I am your host, Javi Rodriguez. With me this week is Ryan De La Rosa.
Hi!
Hey, Gabe Philbin.
Hola.
And Dylan Rausch.
Beep boop.
Alright.
So, I was trying to make it so you could hear me opening a beer right when you said my name, but yeah, it was really quiet.
I heard it.
So video games, right?
Mm-hmm. Video games.
I play those.
We've been playing some.
I've played those. Actually. Yeah, we've all actually played some video games.
I know.
Go Infamous figure. And Metal Gear.
Javi's been all over video
Infamous
games.
Infamous and Metal Gear and Titanfall on my end.
Yeah.
Titanfall.
Javi, how is the controversial Ground Zeroes?
It's really good, but all of our fears are completely justified. It's basically the modern day equivalent of what the tanker demo was, except for that came with, you know, a little extra. You know, it came with what, Xenogears 2 or whatever Zone of the Enders. Zone of the Enders 2.
Zone of the Enders.
And you know, like that Halo 3 demo came with fucking Crackdown. Well, this is just the demo. It's $40 or whatever. I don't know. It's good. It's really, really good. But it's still just a demo.
So you're not finding the hours upon hours that other people
are? I saw a tweet that was making fun of it, but it's pretty true. It's like you could play the tanker mission over and over again and challenge yourself for like 20 hours, but that doesn't make it worth, I don't know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, well, because the arguments that people seem to be making when it comes to like the game length of Ground Zeroes is like the time it takes to 100% it.
Yeah, and that's ridiculous.
And that's usually not the metric that people use. Like, the time it takes to beat Final Fantasy 13 will be around 40 hours. The time it takes to 100% it will be around 140.
Yeah.
You know, the length is actually not the complaint I heard most about Ground Zeroes.
No, people are getting up in arms about the controversy
about the end.
Yeah,
I haven't spoiled myself on it, so please don't spoil me.
I know the ending. I won't say it. From what I've heard, maybe I don't have all the details, but it seems like it's overblown.
Oh yeah, well, the ending in and of itself, like the cutscene, it's really graphic and violent looking, or it's mm-hmm. gory, but I don't think that's the controversy. The controversy is more found in the
it's the
audio
details.
Tapes.
The audio tapes. Oh, okay. Sorry,
yeah,
I didn't know about that.
There's an audio tape that suggests
hey.
Certain things. Yeah, yeah. And
I think I know what it's suggesting. I don't know maybe there's like a detail of that I'm missing that would explain some people's feelings. We have to be incredibly cryptic about this, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, I was going to say, give me till, like, next week when I can actually play it.
Well, mm-hmm. then there's, like, the listeners and all that bullshit.
Oh, yeah. But we can discuss it. Fuck them.
I think it's a matter of the sole female character in this entire game just happens to get sexually assaulted on tape.
Pause is in the game?
Yeah.
Maybe the thing at the end of Peace Walker wasn't canon then.
Guys.
What?
Guys.
What?
You mean she wasn't... I thought Quiet was the character in the game.
Quiet? No, Quiet's in MGS5. Like, proper
Isn't that
MGS5.
What this is?
No,
this is MGS5
Ground
Zeroes.
Not MGS5 proper Phantom Pain.
I love how they made it so
clear
for all the fans.
This is a different controversy, Dylan.
Clearly, Dylan's only confused because he's not a real Metal Gear fan.
Yeah, you dumb idiot. God.
I'm gonna fuck
what are you even
face.
Doing here? Get out!
I'm going to fuck your face up with my fist.
Yeah, but Peace Walker spoilers, like the secret mission at the end.
I haven't done that.
Well, don't. It doesn't matter.
What is it?
It's Pause taking over your the Metal Gear that you build, and then you fighting it on top of Outer Haven or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and that's like the final secret mission.
Well, yeah, wasn't the big plot twist in Peace Walker that she was actually like 20 something and a spy for like the CIA?
Yeah, that happens in this mission, mm-hmm. and I could have swore she died.
Well, it doesn't matter.
So maybe that's not canonical?
No, I think that happens.
Okay.
Well, Ground Zeroes but takes place, what, a before, year after Peace Walker?
I was actually, before we started recording, I was just listening to a bunch of the tapes, like the briefing tapes mm-hmm. before the mission. And, you know, Kaz says that Paz's body was found ashore on a certain island or whatever, and then she's been taken
Zanzibar.
She's been taken into this camp, and Snake's reaction is like she's alive or something like that.
Oh, okay,
so,
okay.
I don't know how you lose her. I don't know how do you presume she's dead when you killed her? It's just like Solid Snake killing Big Boss, and then oh what? He's totally fine.
Just like that. I don't know what's happening.
Well, the thing is, we're making a huge mistake, and we're expecting things to make sense.
Yes. No, but bottom line,
that's a huge error on our part.
Bottom line, it shows like a lot of promise. Like, and each one of the little objectives, or each one of the missions that you go on in this game, take place at a different time of the day, and that also kind of gives you an idea of what the different time of the day means for stealth, because you get spotted, boom, in an instant from miles away. If somebody's in a watchtower, if you're not crawling through like grass and stuff, if you're just like even crouching
in the daytime,
yeah, if you're just crouch walking across an open street, you'll get seen from like a mile away, and it's like fuck, like the days of having those vision cones and they can't see like 10 feet in front of them are gone.
Yeah.
Like, you really, really have to.
It kind of reminds stealthy. Me of what Far Cry 2 tried to do mm-hmm. back in the day, of like having, like, depending on the weather and the way the wind's blowing and the time of day, like, you'll have to approach places from different angles, but it didn't really come to be that way. But, you know, it sounds, from what you're saying, like, it actually impacts it pretty heavily, which is cool.
Yeah, I think most importantly, they finally streamline the controls to where, like, Snake does exactly what you want him to do, like, immediately. Everything's smooth. Like,
I thought MGS4 was pretty solid.
No, I hated it.
Solid.
Ryan saw what I did.
And it's cool that, like, you don't have to go through a menu to equip your binoculars. And mm-hmm. binoculars, they totally took a page out of Far Cry 3's book where you look at a guy and then it adds his, it puts a little marker above his head and it adds him to your radar. So it's very important to like pull out your binoculars when you get like a good elevation and just look all around and try to add as many people as you can to your radar mm-hmm. so you know who you're sneaking by. And the binoculars are mapped to R1, so it's always R1. That button is your binoculars.
No more CQC on R1.
Yeah, it's R2 now.
Next level.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Kiefer Sutherland has like 4 things to say in the whole game. He just reacts, says yeah, little things.
That's pretty much what Snake's dialogue was before.
Well, Chloe! He just keeps yelling Chloe.
Like, for the majority of Metal Gear Solid 4, his like, all of David Hayter's lines are just it would be like the last word of the person.
Yeah, repeating
just
it with a question mark.
Yeah.
Did you not do any of the codec calls?
There is no codec calls.
Yeah, no more codec.
Well, I'm responding to
in
Gabe.
MGS4.
Hmm. In yeah. 4, Snake Eater, and every one of it. The majority of Snake's dialogue is always in the codec call. Like him and Paramedic talking about movies and Godzilla and James Bond.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Godzilla, that just reminded me how hyped I am for the new Godzilla.
Yeah.
Oh,
anyways.
God, it looks so good.
What's really cool, though, is when you're looking at stuff through your binoculars, L1 will show up when there's an object in sight, and when you press L1, it's like a codec call, so Kaz will start telling you about what you're looking at, and it'll work on almost everything, so that's really cool. Impressive.
Is Kaz always with you?
On your radio.
In your ear.
Oh, okay, he's on the radio.
He's in your brain.
But, no, it's a great, like, demonstration of how fucking awesome Metal Gear Solid 5 is going to be, but...
I love how Kojima's saying, I'm scared that people won't be able to beat Metal Gear Solid 5. It's 200 yeah. times bigger than Ground Zeroes.
Wow.
Like my dick.
But Ground Zeroes isn't that big, so...
like Ryan's dick.
Thanks, Ryan.
Uh-huh. You're welcome. You didn't have to say it.
This has been Ryan's color commentary on the Metal Gear franchise. Yeah.
This is all I have to add to the Metal Gear talk.
Yeah, I mean, someone asked me on Twitter whether or not they should buy it. And I was like, if you're asking me that, then no, you shouldn't. Like, this is... I feel like this game is for people who are going to buy it whether, no matter what. You know?
If you're a super big Metal Gear fan.
Exactly.
Like, so I should definitely buy it.
Yeah, and you have to keep in mind, Hobby's not a true Metal Gear fan because he doesn't love it through and through.
Oh, man, it's so annoying. And I read the IGN article, which has very valid points about why it didn't, quote-unquote, earn the ending that it did and how, like...
Ground Zeroes?
Yeah, and how some of the stuff was, like, more exploitive than... It was kind of like, I don't know, it didn't belong in this kind of game, or, you know, it just, mm-hmm. just didn't sit right. It wasn't mature enough to, like, earn the subject matter that it was covering. And I can definitely see that. Like, I'm not really upset about it.
I don't get what you mean by that.
Well, do you want me to tell you what I mean by that?
Is it a spoiler?
Yeah.
No.
Let's just say it covers... sexual assault graphically and it in the context of what's there on in Ground Zeroes, it's just kind of like, I don't know, there's no gravitas to it. It's almost like it's like a teenager writing a like dumb like wannabe drama and then throwing in that scene from Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and just being like, well, because it'll shock people. You know, that's what it feels like, and I definitely see that.
I just started feeling weird things in my butt region.
Okay.
At the mention of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, that's the first, like, my body just clenches up. And I just get really uncomfortable.
You haven't even seen it.
I know! That's what's so scary.
Dumbo.
Anyways, all the comments under that article... we're like just people being so defensive and so like
Metal Gear
pissed off. Yes, being pissed off that somebody would dare like criticize Metal Gear, and it's like it's the same shit of when I wrote that my article saying, "Damn, like I don't think I'm as big a fan, you know, or as a fan anymore." You know, I got pages and pages of people like challenging me, saying that I was never a fan to begin with, and this and that. It's like. No, you're just not... You won't allow yourself to, like, think about anything, you know?
How
you won't
dumb this is. Yeah. You won't allow yourself to think about how dumb you are. Probably because you're such a dummy.
It's like, you're not allowed to criticize it. It's just, it's like religion. It's weird.
Yeah, well, that's also weird, because, like, I think with a lot of other stuff, like, the most staunch fans are also the harshest critics. Like in a lot of other things, like
yeah,
not with video games.
Or maybe it's like, well, no, even with video games, there are a lot of people who love certain games, but also like criticize it to no end, even though they play it all day, every day. You know, like a lot, especially with a lot of multiplayer games. And so,
just look at Mass Effect 3. Like those were hardcore fans that were pissed about they didn't like the ending. You know,
yeah. And oh man, you missed that long conversation we had last night, Hobbs.
We had a good conversation.
Yeah, we did have.
Don't act like it wasn't productive.
No, it was like it was. It didn't get violent. It didn't get angry. I think we had a genuine discussion. Me, Dylan, and Gabe last night.
A healthy debate.
Yeah. But yeah, that seems weird. Or maybe it's like one of those things where like if they feel it, you know. Nobody talks about my brother but me, you know, kind of deals where, like, if they feel that they truly are the fans and if you look like an outsider, maybe that's why they attack you. Like,
right.
But I think as an outsider, like, I think those are the people you need criticizing it, because if you spend too much time looking too closely at a thing, like, it's really easy to miss the flaws. Like,
yeah, you lose perspective.
Yeah, exactly. Like, even in what I do, like, I, you know, as an engineer, like I'll sit there and I'll work on a set of plans for months and I'll hand it to somebody who's never looked at it and they see all these things that are wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's because I'm just too close to it. You know, like
mm-hmm.
I've been looking at it too. It's too easy to miss this shit. And so that's why we have outside people look at things, you know, like or somebody who might have a better idea or a different perspective. And it's the same goes here. Like, you have to be able to accept that outside criticism. Like, it, that's probably the most genuine. Impossible. Because they're. Yeah, you're probably right.
You're just talking gibberish.
But it's probably the most genuine criticism. Like, and most valid.
Not to like pump up Javi, but you know, if someone like him is like, especially talking about Metal Gear, that's kind of the criticism I would listen to the most. You know, someone who's played pretty much every Metal Gear game, like through and through multiple times. Like, you know, he knows a thing or two about the franchise and what was good and what was bad. So
yeah,
just kind of like tossing that out the window.
You know, and after the dust settled and everything, and I played, you know, Metal Gear 3 again and all that, and even the first one, like, a lot of the criticisms I made in that article weren't exactly justified, because there's a lot more of me speaking about what I wish the franchise was from the beginning than what it actually was from the beginning. I think I took away a lot. I took away specific things from the first couple games and ignored maybe some other things, but I do think that it really went over the top, you know, like near the end of 2, and then
the end of 2. MGS.
No, I actually really enjoyed 2.
Yeah, fuck you, Gabe.
When I first got it, but
let's bring this back up.
Yeah, no, but like especially MGS4. Like, I still stand by the fact that I think MGS4 feels like fan fiction. It feels like you just went on a message board and copied pasted it and threw billions of dollars behind it to make it, and it's like, what the hell? Like, it is.
Oh god, I don't even. That's so that, right.
Yeah.
Oh, that hurts.
How else will you explain Vamp being back?
Everyone being back. Oh, it's so bad.
They didn't even explain how Mei Ling became an admiral or whatever.
Yeah, it's Metal Gear. Like, being like a real fan of Metal Gear is. It's a jagged pill you have to swallow, because there's a lot of stuff not to like in there, but there's a lot of stuff to like as well. It's a good, it's got a lot of merits as well.
What you're saying is that Alanis Morissette is a fan.
Yeah.
Why is Liquid living on through this arm?
I live on through this arm.
Because Ocelot. Because Ocelot.
That game is so stupid.
Yeah,
I got. To
I haven't even played these games, and it's just like, man, this shit be dumb.
I got like, I was playing through the tanker section of Metal Gear Solid 2, and I was like, you know, it was pretty, it was overhyped how, you know, crazy this game is. You know, I'm doing pretty solid, and then that happened.
Yep. Well, Ryan, for a little context, in what 2002 was Metal Gear Solid 2?
Something around there.
In 2002, yeah, the main boss from the first game. His arm got attached to another boss from the first game, and then sporadically his personality would take over the guy who attached his arm to him with no explanation whatsoever.
It's a real idle hands situation. Is that what's happening?
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah,
exactly.
And no explanations whatsoever until how many years later? Metal Gear Solid 4 was like 2011. So maybe 10 years, maybe more.
No,
I don't know.
2007, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
No, not when it came out. MGS4 was when it takes place.
No. I mean, when it came out.
Oh, that was
2007 or 2008.
Oh wait, yeah.
Four. I'm gonna
2011.
I don't know.
That's
after
Uncharted 3 or 2.
I'm sorry,
that's the year of Uncharted 3. So actually,
okay, 2008. So like 7 years later. 7 years later, we get this shoehorned explanation for that. That the guy who put the arm on himself intentionally went through hypnotherapy to become the other character on purpose.
so it wasn't the arm doing it. He just decided he wanted to be that person.
But when he turned into that person in the second game, he specifically yells, "I live on through this arm."
Well, that's
not
what
true.
His therapist told him to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just threw up inside my own brain.
And if you dare lay out all these facts in an article, well, fuck you, because you're not a real fan.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Eat a dick.
As a real fan, brilliant. As a real fan, you ignore all flaws.
Oh my god, it's so frustrating. Anyways, Ground Zeroes. Pick it up if you were going to pick it up anyways. And don't pick it up otherwise. MGS5 is going to be cool.
Is this like the podcast for burping and chewing like the whole time?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what are you even chewing on, Javi?
Carrots, I told you.
Still?
Yeah, I had a whole bowl.
Jeez.
That's my dinner.
You were like, let me finish chewing before we started the podcast. Let me finish chewing so I can then chew for the rest of
the and then it's like whenever you're talking,
I just want to do the intro properly, but after that, it's the chew cast.
Well, to be fair, this is my last carrot. So.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. Javi's been on a juice cleanse, I guess?
Well,
because that's all you're having,
it's
right?
It's kind of, it's morphed into this fruit thing, because we're doing 3 weeks. And that's a long time to not eat food.
Yeah, it is.
Which is what I said. And I was worried for their health.
I laid down some rules. Anything that we're going to juice or that you can juice, and I think this is even more healthy, you can just eat it. You can't add salt, you can't go nuts or like, you know, add anything that other. You can boil it or you can eat it raw, you know, you could bake it.
This is Bubba Gump and his shrimp right here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what?
Shrimp,
anyways,
let's go. Boiled shrimp, baked shrimp.
Anyways, yeah. So I laid down an extra. We have a caveat where we can eat what we can juice. So, yeah, that's what's going on. And we are almost done. We have a week left. Next Tuesday is the last day.
Party hard.
Yes. Party extremely.
They're all gonna
hard.
Die because their body is not used to ingesting anything other than juice and fruit.
I've lost 11 pounds.
That's more than Will Smith lost in that one movie.
Yeah.
I dropped 5 pounds for my role in what the fuck was that zombie movie? I don't know. I Am Legend.
It's a vampire movie.
Whatever.
So,
zombie vampires.
Javi, you've also been playing some Infamous.
I beat Infamous.
Little, oh, you beat Infamous, right.
Yeah.
Quick little impressions of that real quick.
I want to talk about that too, because I want to get into that. Yeah. I haven't finished it, but yeah. Go ahead.
It's beautiful. It looks like a real next-gen game, which is nice. So did Metal Gear, by the way. But it starts out really promising. I really like the voice acting and the writing. It's funny, you know. But it's not really satisfying. It feels like it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't finished. Or
I agree with where I'm at right now. Like, I
mean, it, yeah.
Well, like the other day we were texting and you said about like you didn't feel like there was many story missions to really push it along, and like I'm not very far into it, and part of it is that yeah, those are kind of like weirdly placed.
Yep.
Like the way that it sets up early is like, okay, like you get a brief radio call talking about a mission that you're supposed to go do. Like this is probably like the first mission you do like once you've gotten past like the whole, like once you get to Seattle.
Yep.
And so
which doesn't is it feel like, which is a very fake like just, Seattle.
Yeah.
A very not Seattle Seattle.
But Ryan, doesn't it feel like you get through that, like you get across the broken bridge and then you get that call. And it's like they just missed a beat. They missed like a transition. Into,
yeah,
like...
yeah. Because I was sitting there looking, and like I pull up the map, and it gives you the legend. And so it's like, okay, this icon is this, like this icon is this. And it's like the first thing they do is they're like, okay, you get that call, and then it like breaks you into all the okay. Here's all the things you can do to free these zones. And it's like, okay, so here's all the things I can do to free these zones. And then I got that call about submission. And then it puts you in this one area in the far top left of the map.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the map and you see what is labeled in the legend as mission start. And it's like deep in the shit. Like it's way in the map. And you're like my first reaction was, can I, like I'm over here doing this thing and it seems to want me to like free these zones, but should I go over there? And so like I just went over there. And started, but I could see how somebody could start like I think I had this problem in the first Infamous game, where you, start freeing up all the zones, and then you start doing the missions, and then the missions are super easy because there's nothing opposing you. The streets are empty. There's nothing... it gets real easy to get on this, weird path of, you're doing the missions, but then everything in between, there's nothing to do anymore because you did it already.
Yeah. Infamous 2 suffered from that. The first one, not so much. I remember vividly, because Infamous 1 was really bad with getting around. And so, you had to literally just jump up the side of a building and grab each windowsill while you're getting shot from an asshole across the window.
Right.
So Infamous and 1 I had dudes on the rooftop.
I do I haven't gotten... maybe this is a spoiler. I don't know. You mentioned the neon power the other day, but
Smoke
I haven't gotten
neon yet. Are confirmed. They're all in trailers and stuff.
Right, but I haven't gotten the neon yet. I think I'm one little mission away from that.
It's the best.
But I feel even now, I could see myself completely freeing up 4 or 5 zones of the map, and then not having done any of the story, and it just seems like.
That's what I did.
you said, it's missing a beat. Somewhere. The pacing is all fucked up. They don't give you a reason to do one that pushes you into the normally a lot of games will be okay, do this mission, and then it kind of pushes you into the new zones. But this doesn't do that.
Yeah,
throws you into a zone way across the board, away from the ones you're already freeing up, and you can free that up and come back across the board, and it just doesn't seem to flow right.
Yeah, no, Infamous 1 had a great gimmick to, make sure it flows correctly. I don't know if you remember it, but...
The city bridges would come down.
In Infamous 1, you would have one little chunk, one little neighborhood that has power. And you need power to refill your health and your electricity.
Yeah.
And so, you would do a bunch of missions there, and you would unlock side missions and stuff to free clean up the area and everything. But once it was time to go to the next neighborhood, you had to go underground in the sewers, and that would give you a new ability, and you would turn on all the power in that area, too. That's progression.
This is just, it gives you a little too much freedom and gives you the chance to break the game for yourself.
And that's exactly what I did. And I have a theory about why they did that. I think that... Honestly, they didn't have enough story missions,
Ready. You mentioned that the other day, that the story missions seemed really lacking.
And there's not enough of them either.
What I meant. They were lacking in the number of them, the volume of them. Yeah.
And I did 100%. I cleaned up all the streets. I finished the first island before I could even get to the second island. And I swear, I only did 2 story missions before I did that. So I did 2 story missions, and then I'm like, there's this, and this I can do real quick to, clean up this whole neighborhood. And I just ended up just doing that. And then I'm like, all right, well, now it's time to just do nothing but story missions. It's going to be great. And I swear there was only 5 or 6, maybe 7, and I beat the game. And I was like, really? It just felt wrong. It felt like that... I barely did any story.
It sounds a lot
mission.
The original Mass Effect. If you boil the original Mass Effect down to its just absolutely fundamental missions, there's 4 or 5.
Well, my theory is that they had that very small amount of missions ready, and they're this is a short game. I feel like they spent a lot of time making the environment gorgeous and making sure it works with your powers and designing the powers
and making sure
it's
an accurate Seattle.
It all plays great. It all looks great. Yeah. Get over it.
I just have fun with that.
Yeah. But it all plays great and looks great. You have a foundation for an awesome game right there. Everything's laid in place, but they didn't have time to make the rest of the game.
I feel like the time that could have been spent was spent on polish, which isn't a bad thing, because it does feel like a polished game.
It is
it's just not polished. It's just not terribly done.
Yeah, and my theory is because in the old games, when you were looking for blast shards, you had to meticulously go to an area, click R3, and it'd go whoom, and they would just appear on the radar for a second and then fade away, and it was a challenge. You would see blast shards just going around and be like, oh, let me get that real quick, and then you go carry on your way. Now in Second Son, right off the bat, when you get to Seattle, your entire, even the mini map and the main map is just covered in every single blast shard at all times.
Well, no, you have to go blow up those stations first.
Oh, I guess yeah.
Yeah, you have to do that before they show up in an area. But okay. Even that's not terribly difficult. But yeah, it's not. There's no guesswork to it. You just go to that thing, you do that thing, and then
and they're all
they're
there,
all here.
Everywhere.
They're all here. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and you have your little destroy the little hand scanner stations and rescue this person or that person. But like, I was halfway through the game and I was already level 5. I was a hero. I was famous or whatever.
Right.
And it's like, I'm halfway through the game and I'm like end game rank right now. And I have everything. I had everything unlocked and I had a stockpile of like 80 something shards just waiting for the next ability so that I could spend it all immediately. Like, it just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
I feel like that. Yeah, that was always one of my biggest problems with the franchise. I feel like Dylan and I talked about this. Maybe Dylan can remember if we did or not, but that you can only go down one path in that game of you're good or you're evil.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what they said on the Best Friends cast today. Where like Pat made a great point. He's like, the very first choice you have to make between like doing a good thing or
a
bad thing
sets the tone for the rest of the game.
Yeah, he said that should just be the defining decision. Like, the beginning of the game, you say I'm good Cole, mm-hmm. I'm bad Cole, good Delson, bad Delson, and then the rest of the game should follow suit because there's no benefit. It's all detrimental if you make a different decision.
Yeah, if you switch directions at any point, you're just hurting yourself.
Yeah, so why fucking bother?
Why give you
the choice?
Yeah, you know which game I actually like the way they did evil and good was Knights of the Old Republic.
And I hear the Witcher is great with that. Like it has whole chunks of the game you miss if you
Witcher
do it a
3?
Certain way. Two, I think. Is it 3?
Oh,
not out, right?
Oh, okay. Witcher 2, if you side with the elves or the humans.
I don't know.
Yes,
there's things in the Witcher games, maybe the first or second, where you just. Yeah, there's entire parts of the game you miss.
Yeah, yes. Like it changes the game, which is
chapters
what it should do.
2 and 3 are completely different,
and that's awesome.
And chapter 4 has a bunch of different scenes based on what happened in those two previous chapters.
Yeah, and I've heard that it's not black and white either. It's not a good decision and a bad decision.
No,
it's just
both,
like what you think you want.
Both
do.
Sides, like at the beginning of the game, it makes you really want to think, like, oh yeah, the humans are fucking assholes and the elves are the good guys. Mm-hmm. That's how the first Witcher was too. But as you go along, you kind of realize both sides are assholes.
Oh, that's exactly like the South Park games. I'm not even joking.
South Park has better morality than Infinite.
like you start off with Cartman and he's the humans, and then you find out that Kyle and the elves are probably the better choice.
Anyways, it makes you kind of feel like, oh yeah, the elves. You kind of want to side with them and stuff. They're being oppressed, but I sided with the humans, and I found that the character that joins you is much more interested in actually helping you out. He seems like a better companion, even though he's in kind of like the faction that they're kind of oppressing the elves and stuff.
So the human companion you get is actually cool, or the
he's a better companion
than the elf companion you'd get.
He's an asshole.
He's a dick. We don't talk about him no more.
And it's kind of funny though. It's a weird play on no one is inherently good or evil. Mm-hmm. Everyone's black. Everyone's gray.
Yeah, and if you're gonna do like a choice, a decision thing, like good and evil, I don't know. You shouldn't do good and evil is basically what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, I mean the light side and dark side thing in Knights of the Old Republic. Yeah, that's very black and white. But it's implemented a bit. It's on like a slider scale instead of, oop, famous.
Yeah, but even then, is there any benefit to not going 100% one or the other?
I think the way to make that happen, like to make that happen effectively, like the two choices, you'd have to like segment each side into portions towards like. Almost like points, like where you might be trying to get a certain ability, so you only need this many points. Like, so they don't stack.
Yeah, so
you
like,
know, you have to eliminate the stacking on both sides to make it beneficial.
You can get the evil grenade if you do this like one thing differently. If you do the like quote unquote eviler side,
it doesn't really translate.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, it's not like the best.
Yeah, no, it's not a perfect system, but
you know, it's stupid. Better, yeah. It's stupid because you're only motivating the person with what item they get.
Yeah, exactly.
That the reward is this.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, you could
doing
tie
it
a story
this way
to
should
it,
change
but...
how the game plays later on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
no, I
you
got
pissed
you.
Off this faction because
no,
you killed
I,
a mother
I understand
and her baby.
That, yeah. But I'm talking about the benefit to you.
Yeah, well,
like I mean, you could do both. You'd have to, but you still have to segment it. You know,
a
like,
moral decision that you have to make in Infamous One is, you know, whether or not to like let that mob of people take or you know, distribute the rations or to start shooting into the crowd and take all the rations to take care of yourself and your girlfriend.
What should have happened is if you take the rations for yourself, those people are out for you. They're not going to help you.
But your benefit is maybe if you didn't take the rations, then you have to do a bunch of other crap to feed yourself and your family. Like that might be
right.
That, you know, an interesting way to do it but, instead of just oh you're evil oh you're good but there's no real change
but after that mission it's the same either way it's just you made that decision there's no real immediate repercussions that you feel but if you get like full evil and Infamous people will throw like rocks and shit at you or if you get full good they'll cheer for you but you know that's
and your shirt turns white
I throw rocks at people anyway.
And Infamous 2 probably did the same thing. And I'm assuming this one as well. Like, the environment would kind of change with you.
Yeah.
But still, that still supports the whole go evil all the way or go good all the way.
Yep.
Fallout 3 had, neutrality bonuses. So, like, if you were good at times and then evil at others, or...
That was with specific factions most of the time.
Like... You know, there are some things in Fallout 3, like blow up Nuketown or don't blow up Nuketown. You know, it's a pretty polar decision, but if you balance that out with something else, it would, like, still keep you neutral and you wouldn't actually lose anything from that. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I still think games haven't... Haven't done the whole morality thing completely right.
Because it's really fucking hard.
what I know has done it a lot better would be D&D's lawful good, neutral.
Dude, that's awesome that you bring that up, because that's exactly what I was thinking earlier when we were like trying to think of a better way to balance it. Like, those levels of things, like those rankings of things, like, yes, I agree.
But that's assuming you want to like have the decision you make like fundamentally change the game. I mean, that's one way to go about it. But I was just thinking about Spec Ops: The Line, where like it made you make moral decisions several times in the game, but it didn't really it didn't change anything. But like it slightly did. So like you had this crowd that wanted to kill you and your partners, right? And they were throwing rocks and surrounding you and everything. And your character's yelling at them to get the fuck away from you. And you can either start shooting them and kill them, or you can just... And it doesn't prompt you. It doesn't tell you what to do. It's just, like, figure it out. They start causing damage to you. Like, your screen's flashing red and everything. And you can just start mowing them down. But I decided to fire up in the air, and they reacted correctly. They're like freaked out and they all ran away, and it's like that's and I got a trophy for not killing anybody. And there's a lot of instances like that where you react through the gameplay and not through some prompt, press R2 for good decision, press L2 for the bad one, and that's so much more satisfying.
That's cool as fuck.
Yeah,
like so it's the I think the biggest problem with morality is balancing the like in a story, not necessarily driven game, but where the story actually is, you know, attempted. You know, having a balance between like emotional impacts for morality and then like gameplay impacts as well. And Infamous kind of forces you to focus on the gameplay ones, like the gameplay rewards, despite the choice.
And
then it'll
the
actually
context,
hurt you if you don't.
Yeah, and in the context of the universe they've set up, Delson would never be evil Delson. It doesn't make any sense. So why is that an option?
He's Troy Baker.
Especially when you're gonna ignore evil Cole altogether and just say, no, good Cole's path is what happened. Then stop fucking around with this. I mean, I honestly think they did it because it's a staple of the franchise and it doubles game length in theory.
Which sucks.
You play it again. Yeah. There's another set of trophies that are identical. Just make the other decision.
Fuck trophies. I'm so done with trophies.
Yeah.
Wait, I want to hear what Dylan had to say about the rest of D&D.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, I like the system that, let's say, okay, you're a paladin.
Okay.
Paladin, you are locked into lawful good. If you break that, you fall from grace and become a blackguard. It's very, very rigid. Other classes, not so much, though.
But I kind of think it's cool the idea of, like, you're this class. If you break it, you're another class. That would be cool.
Yeah. But
can you ever go back to Paladin? Or is it gone forever?
I don't remember. I believe that's up to the GM. So it's up to whoever's in charge of your game. But I mean,
we should play D&D sometime.
Yeah, I never
D&D's, have. D&D's fun. You can do it over. You can do it online.
Yeah, you can do it like on Skype and shit. Pretty easy.
Oh snap!
Such fucking nerds. There's other other tabletop games that are just as good. If you ask me, like Pathfinder, and in my opinion, I like the Warhammer like 40K ones. But anyways, I like that morality system. It's feels a bit more natural, like that you kind of your character kind of falls into this trait. Let's say at heart you're a good person, but you don't always stray within the law. Mm-hmm. You'd be chaotic good,
yeah, like
which would be every video game character that's good ever. Because let's face it, you can never
not
have
kill
a lawful good.
Like the way you describe that, it sounds like when you make a decision, like a moral decision, like if you're a paladin and then you have the choice, I don't know, like kick this kid in the face or not. And
good one to go with.
So
get revenge.
And you know, if you kick the kid in the face, you know, you're morally impacted and you lose like certain gameplay aspects because you lose like that paladin side of you, but you gain different ones at the same time. So like instead of like Infamous, where if you like do missions 1, 2, 3 is good, and then you're like mission 4 comes around, you're like, I don't want to be good on this one, like I want to go with the like evil quote unquote decision, you know, you actually hurt yourself by doing that. But in this scenario, you've just unlocked new ways to like play, and that sounds cool.
I just wish they would have more gray choices and wouldn't outright tell you, this is the good choice, this is the evil choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because they it is really heavy-handed. Like,
it's always been.
Here it is!
At the end of Infamous 2, it like wouldn't let you pick the evil ending if you were good.
And then Cole dies.
So, yeah, it's like, why is it there? So back to the Second Son, though, I just want to like those are my problems with the game, is that it felt like there wasn't pacing and that there wasn't a lot of main campaign missions there. It just felt like they didn't finish it up. That aside, it's great. Like I really have a lot of fun with the powers, especially like the last one or the second to last one you get is so cool for getting around. It's freaking badass.
I'm gonna assume it's a spoiler what it is.
It doesn't.
I mean, it's a power. Well, I mean, I could just say the power.
Wasn't a spoiler for other people. Okay. Let's just keep that. If it wasn't in like a trailer, let's not.
No. And it's they got really ridiculous with
they
powers,
got creative
man.
Instead of just flat out element powers like fire, ice, lightning, zap.
It's not even an element. It's really bizarre, but anyways.
You travel by map.
Yeah, and there's
we decide to travel by map. It's faster.
I can't wait for a game to do that.
They included those some DLC missions that you actually have to do a mission and then go to their website and like solve some like
what?
Alternate reality puzzles.
So meta. So,
yeah. So you have to solve some puzzles to you unlock the next mission in the game. You have to go to the Space Needle.
Is that the 5 hours of gameplay they added?
I think so. Yeah. I did the first mission. It's kind of cool. You meet a new conduit. Her power is paper. And that sounds so stupid, but it looks awesome. Paper. Like she's like
the origami killer.
She's running around and like paper airplanes and origami's like flying out of her like crazy. And then like there's also like this like Journey-esque like scarf of toilet paper shooting out of the back of her.
Sounds amazing.
It's really cool looking though. It was awesome.
Paper.
I did think it was kind of cool that like they introduce. Like, I thought and this is very early game, so I'm not necessarily going to call it spoilers, but, like the introduction of all these different types of conduits and the fact that there were so many and, like, that one bitch with the concrete, like, yeah. That was, like, the way they have expanded the types of conduits is pretty cool. Like, I do think that's really awesome.
Well, and I feel like they've done a much better job of kind of introducing and establishing villains and what the fuck is going on. Because I feel like in Infamous 1 especially, so much of it was just over the radio and it wasn't clear. And like their cutscenes were just those little glimpses of comic book stuff. And
yeah,
like, there was the first Sons that were made of garbage or whatever. And then, you know, there's just, like, all these different gangs that I guess were conduits, and I don't know what their powers were. It was just a mess.
I don't think they were conduits. They just all had guns that shot at you. Like, right. And they wore garbage cans and carried guns. That was
right. Yeah, they're conduits.
Yeah.
Right.
But at the end of the day...
Bioterrorists, yeah. If you want to be a bigot about it.
At the end of the day, Second Son... is probably the best game on PS4 right now. It was disappointing, but it was still pretty good. I liked it. But Infamous 2 is better. Way better. I think.
I get my PS4 this week.
Yeah, like at the start of this conversation, I'm like, man, you're really probably making Dylan feel like shit for buying a PS4 right now.
No, it's good, and it's beautiful. Like, if you're looking for next-gen
games, no good the first
game.
One.
That game looks... It sounds like a kind of dumb thing to say, but like it looks the most next gen of all the games that have come out.
It's good.
Yeah. You know what's kind of funny? Off the top of my head, there's only a couple games I want for the PS4. So why'd I buy it? I want Infamous, Metal Gear right now, and Destiny when it comes out.
Well, Metal Gear got you to buy your PS3, so it got you to buy a PS4 right. As well.
Metal Gear has gotten me to buy every console I own.
Like Metal Gear Sony is such a console, weird franchise for me at this point.
It is.
Like I don't know why I like get excited. Like I'm just gonna get frustrated, but still enjoy it. And like it's a very internal.
Well, you hate two. Let's start there.
Start at how much of a fucking idiot I am.
I think Phantom Pain is gonna be all about tearing down Big Boss and making him the villain. I think that game's gonna end
but he's
with
the
him
good guy.
As the bad guy.
No. Big Boss is my favorite character.
At the end of 4, he's the fucking good guy again.
He's always been the good guy.
Yeah.
He's just
I forgot that. Yeah. Oh, god damn it.
Don't never forget.
Zero.
MGS4, man.
It ruined everything.
Everything. Ryan, it retroactively made the villain of the series.
He was secretly doing
good guy things, and so was
Metal Gear Jesus, pretty much.
And not only that, but it brought us Big Mama.
Yeah.
Big Mama?
I only get off my bike when I fall in love or fall dead.
Big Mama. Shut the fuck up. How about you do that instead of either of those? Fuck.
Seriously, Snake Eater is the highlight of the series.
Metal Gear Solid 1's the highlight of the series. Don't kid yourself.
It's so good.
Gabe, Snake Eater is better.
I
Big Boss is a better character.
I hear you and I understand you, but I don't
and
care.
The ending was
Metal
bigger,
Gear Solid 1's the best one.
Shut up, Gabe. The ending was a bigger kick in the balls than anything else.
Yeah, except that Snake forgot about it.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And no one talks about it. No one noticed. The most diehard Metal Gear fans that defend it to their grave didn't notice.
Peace Walker's entire fucking story is based off
the... Is about finding the boss, the final Snake monologue
of Metal Gear Solid 3. And by based off of, I mean it acts like that monologue doesn't even happen. Everything that is said in that monologue that Big Mama says is just ignored.
Sorry, Dylan, you can't ignore Peace Walker because Ground Zeroes is Peace Walker 2 starring Chico and Paz and Kaz and what's his
fucking name? Kaz and Daz and Faz and...
Isn't Ground Zeroes, like I said, like a year after Peace Walker?
Something like that.
Yeah. Oh, why did the boss defect? You know, you motherfucker! Son of a bitch!
Is the boss alive?
No, it's brilliant. It's so brilliant.
The ending to 3 was perfect.
I put a bullet in her forehead. Is she alive?
You did that to Vamp.
Probably.
No, seriously. When Snake Eater came out and you finished it, you were like, so this is what planted the seeds in Big Boss's heads. Why he defects.
Yes.
Nope.
Yeah.
he forgets. They completely shit on the ending of Snake Eater, and it makes me so mad.
And the timeline's getting real tight here. Like,
I'd rather play as the boss at this point.
I think that the time, because it's gonna skip ahead like 10 years or 8 years.
Phantom Pain.
Yeah, it's skipping ahead from the end of Ground Zeroes. And
Ground Zeroes is in the '70s.
Yeah, and Phantom Pain's in the '80s.
Okay.
And I think what they're gonna do is while Snake was in a coma. Les Enfants Terribles was going on, and so
That's 76. What year is Ground Zeroes?
Ground Zeroes is 74, I think.
Okay, so yeah.
Yeah, and so there's little infant Solid Snake and Liquid Snake and Solidus are going to be crawling around.
Hi, baby Han Solo.
Yep. That'd be so funny if you, like, see them.
Since they're rapid aging.
Wait, and remember, Eva's their mom. Are you going to run into pregnant Eva? Oh, wait,
no, because she hasn't seen him in Metal Gear Solid 4. She hadn't seen Big Boss.
Except his fucking corpse.
Snake Eater.
In the Pyx. The PYX.
Let's stop.
I'm sorry, Ryan. Let's
talk about all that. Touch on Titanfall.
The good news is I'm pretty good at, like, toning it all out.
Not listening to us at all.
Yeah.
You're just looking at your wall.
You know what else you're not good at? Titanfall. What? Let's talk about Titanfall.
Bullshit, motherfucker.
Have you been watching it?
Titanfall?
No,
Ryan Bond.
Attack on Titan.
Not Attack on Titan, you
god
dumbo.
You should be watching
it. All the fucking lettuce has gone to his goddamn brain. He can't hear
lettuce.
Anything.
That's disgusting.
I think we've all determined that I'm...
Javi's nightmare is lettuce covered in ketchup.
Oh, my God. That's just disgusting.
That's everyone's nightmare.
I tweeted Harris that clown article. Earlier, and just, I wrote, hi, Harris. and put the link. He just responded with, thanks.
Dylan, were you going to say we can all agree that you are the most Scooty Booty of us all?
I was going to say, yeah. I am the most Scooty Booty and the most Titanfall of all the Titanfall.
So, in our early stages of playing Titanfall, Dylan, Devin, Harris, and I are playing, and Dylan starts using the shotgun and the increased parkour perk, and
the extra speed.
Yeah, and he turns on never not sprinting, the option, and he just starts getting kills, like, left and right, and he's just, like, murdering shit. And then Devin just points out, he's like, Dylan, you're just, what are you doing? And Dylan just responds with, Scooty Booty Man!
Seriously, I play that game like the scout in TF2.
That's like the most fun you can have in that game. Just sprinting around with the shotgun. It's
no one expects you to go flying above them and shoot them from above.
Unless they kick you. Which, the kick in that game is very deceptive because, you know, it's a foot, so you don't expect it to kill you. But you have to think of it as the knife from Call of Duty 4 that kind of homes in on you slightly.
Yeah. Have you seen Karate Kid? Because basically the last scene in that movie where Daniel San does a crane kick would have murdered that guy if they were in the Titanfall universe. Apparently the entire universe actually revolves around karate. Yeah. And martial arts.
It's a world where you use knives to hack things and feet to kill people.
Yeah, if you put a gun up against a kick, don't bring a gun to a kick fight. that's all I have to say. that sums up Titanfall.
Yeah. Titanfall is like super fucking fun.
Yeah, it is. It is that.
The problems I will say I have with the multiplayer is the matchmaking. Seems a little...
It is non-existent.
It's not quite as non-existent as Naughty Dog games.
Uncharted.
Not quite on that level. But it's it struggles.
And there's no auto-balance in the normal multiplayer. Yeah. I understand why it's not there in the campaign, but I don't understand why it's not there in Classic. Mm-hmm.
'Cause there have been many times where, like, Dylan and I have been playing, it's like, why are we getting shit on? Oh, it's 3v6. Oh, these guys have prestige twice already.
Which is insane. That game's been out 2 weeks.
No.
Ryan, you want to know it's insane? We've seen people prestige. As prestige six times at least.
Oh my god.
Never doubt the ability of playing people.
Of kids.
And you know what playing them is like?
The doo-doo.
Torture.
But the servers have not been an issue, which is, you know, really impressive. Sometimes we get, like, stuck in a match, like, a searching loop where you just back out and then start searching again, and it's fine. But, yeah, other than that, it's, like, really solid, super fun. Titanfall's the shit.
There's not much to learn. It's pretty brain dead.
No, it's not, like, a super deep game. Like, it's, like, the depth, it's Call of Duty. You know, it's a very Call of Duty game, but it's...
Except that it has better, like the teamwork in it.
Yeah, no, it's... But, like, what I mean by that, it's fundamentally Call of Duty, where it's, you know, it's not super deep and complex, and, you know, it can be a very, like, solo man affair. But what Titanfall does that I like is, even if you suck... You can just kill the grunts, and, you know, it's kind of lame to just kill grunts, but it's still killing shit. You know, they still look very similar to the enemy pilots.
Right.
So it still feels like you're doing something.
Right. Hey, quick aside, Javi, when do we all get new profile pictures for our Twitter feed?
I didn't know you knew, I didn't know there was high demand.
There it is.
There's always all right. demand. What do you think? Is it nice? It's nice.
Is it Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it around.
Yeah, I've had it for like a month or more.
Yeah, you told me about it before it was even out. I got the inside scoop, I remember.
Yeah,
I just looked at your Twitter profile. I was like, hey, I want a new picture.
You want a redesign?
Ryan
De La Rosa reboot?
We've entered a new console generation. We need
next gen Avid-as.
Yeah. Avid-as.
Yeah, pretty much.
Get your popcorn.
Popcorn. I'll see what I can do.
Well, other than Titanfall, what I've been doing, which I can just say real quick, for people that have a Wii U out there, which is, you know, maybe not even one of you listening, if you got a Wii U, get Wonderful 101. That game is so much fun.
Look at him hyping it up. It's so hype.
I disagree.
Dylan doesn't like the drawing of the abilities.
I don't like the controls, period.
But, I don't know. That's Okami, pretty much. You know, drawing shit.
Okami's worked a lot better.
I've had, like, no problems with the drawing. Like, if I don't get the ability I want when I'm drawing something, or, like, I guess I can just call it drawing.
I resort to just using the sword over and over, because fuck that.
The sword is definitely the easiest one to get. But, yeah, that game, it looks so great when you just stack up the abilities, because you can tell your little dudes to do, like, one of your attacks. So you can tell them to do the sword while you're punching, or them to do the gun while you're using the sword, and also them use the punch. Like, you can stack up to four, I think, and it just looks so great. I think I'm only about halfway into it, so...
Yeah, it's super long.
It could totally shit itself. You know, there's still time. But I have faith. It's super fun. And it just keeps getting, like, bigger and crazier as you go on. And, yeah, check it out, because only, like, 10,000 people bought it.
I picked it up. I'm excited to hop in now that Infamous
and Wonderful 101.
And for the love of God, don't judge it on the demo.
The demo's fuck awful.
Don't.
It made me not buy it for like
The game's only like $20 on Amazon. It's less than Ground Zeroes. Buy it.
Hey, I bought the Metroid Prime trilogy
for like $80,000.
It was 80 or 70.
That's how much I spent.
Yeah, but it's in pretty good condition.
Was it not new?
It's worth it.
Okay.
No.
Oh no, those are super expensive.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Fuck.
But I'm excited because Wii games look really good on Wii U because the HDMI cord cleans it up a bit.
That's
cool. So I need to get back into Skyward Sword eventually.
Eventually.
All right, is it time for a
question? Even close.
No. We've got some good other stuff to talk about, yeah.
What?
Bitch, we haven't even gotten to the news yet.
Jesus Christ. Longest episode ever.
Yeah, this is going to be a long episode. Fuck.
I'm okay with that.
All right. News time. So there's a lot of virtual reality shit coming around.
Nobody cares.
So the PS4 at GDC showed off their VR headset. It's called Project Morpheus. It's pretty much Oculus Rift. The general vibe I got out of it. It looks more futuristic and has, like, pretty lights and shit. But what is kind of interesting, I guess you could say, is I described it earlier in the call as, like, a circle jerk between VR production and, like, by that I mean, like, Oculus Rift is like, yeah, we're super pumped that Sony made a VR thing. And then to respond to that, Sony's like, well, really, Oculus Rift is leading the charge. We're just following suit. And it just kind of went back and forth for a bit, which, you know, we haven't really seen in the games industry.
Well, that's actually, that's a smart approach business-wise, because it makes you look incredibly humble and, like, not a pompous giant corporation.
It's something like virtual reality, which hasn't been proved yet, and if anything, it's been proved to fail. You gotta
I can see, like, just looking at the tech, and those lights that you mentioned on the headset, those serve a purpose. Those will work with the camera, I'm sure, and probably the best way to use this thing in theory is the PlayStation Move controller. So the camera will pick up where your hand is by where the controller is and where your head is, and then it can kind of use that 3D space in all sorts of different ways. And I don't know, that's pretty exciting. I mean, well, here's the thing, like, I'm not excited about it, like, I don't have any stake in it. It could completely fail and go away and I don't give a shit, but I am curious what they're going to do with it. I think there's tons of potential. There's so much potential.
When this first came, like, this news first came out, I was like, oh, okay, so now we're pretty much guaranteed to get a virtual reality, you know, headset, because Oculus was kind of iffy because, like, their production parts were getting cut way short. But then today happened, and Facebook bought Oculus Rift.
Bum, bum,
for
bum.
$2 billion.
$2 billion. They bought 2 billion rides on the roller coaster at $1 a piece.
They wanted to ride that roller coaster real hard.
They wanted to ride the roller coaster.
They couldn't just open a Kickstarter.
And what the creators of the Oculus Rift have said this is like giving them is it means everything. It's one, they didn't say this, but this is what I said. It actually is going to come out. And two, it's going to be better and cheaper retail kits, which is great to hear because a big question mark on this is price. How much is this, like, accessory going to cost? And if they can make it cheaper, that's awesome. But a little backlash that happened from this Facebook thing is Notch came out and said that he's like, I don't like Facebook. Minecraft on Oculus Rift, I'm pulling the plug on that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a bit. I mean, I guess he's super rich already, so it doesn't matter.
He gave a good explanation on his website. So. Well,
I didn't see that. So.
I read it. It's pretty cool.
Is it more of like just
it's
the
more
in
depth than
they
just
collect, they collect data and he's not comfortable.
It's more that Facebook has been very shaky about business endeavors in the past, where they don't seem too sure of where they want to go.
Okay.
Yeah, they're just buying shit. Like
yes.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time wording what he put, so just go read it yourself.
Yeah. So the tweet that he says is, we were in talks about maybe bringing a version of Minecraft to Oculus. I just canceled that deal. Facebook creeps me out.
Yeah, don't go off the tweet.
That was just the initial thing.
Go
that's
to his website.
Pre-explanation that Dylan's talking about. I'm just saying what I have seen.
Like a sharp shot. I think he's knee-jerking off just a tweet right now.
Yeah. But we'll see what happens. Minecraft is not the fucking killer app for the Oculus Rift. So
no,
it's lost its sheen. Has it? Is it still as popular?
Minecraft?
Is it? Yeah.
It's definitely not unpopular. I'd say.
Yeah,
I know that.
I don't think it's gaining popularity. It's probably holding strong.
It's just stagnant.
Well, it's little kids love it.
It's,
you know,
it's easy
all
Legos.
Ages play,
you know?
It.
That's.
Yeah. Oh yeah, my coworker, he brings his kid into work occasionally, and his kid just sits there playing Minecraft.
Yeah, and I hear like during the holiday season, Minecraft was like the hottest toy on Amazon, and like people, you'd hear all throughout the office like parents talking about how their kids love Minecraft, like they're obsessed with Minecraft. So it's still relevant, just not for us anymore.
And
it could be if we had a server with decent plugins.
Nah, I'm done.
The thing with me and Minecraft is
let me just note that this entire time we've been recording, Rachel is right next to me on her computer playing Minecraft this whole time.
You mean sex weirdo?
Sex weirdo.
Yes.
Stop.
I just thought that because the other day I was sitting here on my laptop and I see sex weirdo is playing Minecraft. And I couldn't remember that was, I was like, who is sex weirdo? How did they end up on my friend's
list? It's a pretty good name. Good name.
It really, is. Ryan, you question this with how often me, Gabe, and Harris change our Steam names?
Well, that I know. I was on the call with all of you, so I knew it wasn't any of you guys.
If you've learned anything from being friends on Steam with me, Harris, Devin, and Dylan, it's put a nickname next to our name. Because we change rapidly.
I get IMs from you guys, and I'm like, who the fuck is this?
Who the fuck is Kwanza Kobe?
The fuck is a Boxing Day Barkley?
Hanukkah hard.
Apparently, I'm just seeing this now, but apparently there's an internal Facebook conference call regarding the Oculus acquisition that got leaked. I haven't listened to it. I'm just going to read some of the notes that are listed and speculate wildly.
Mm-hmm. Breaking news.
And what Mark says he wants to use it for is in the Facebook goals, it's understanding the world with AI research and build a model of every person and thing that they are connected to and how they connect to each other. And that's like the long term. In the short term, he just says for searching in newsfeed.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I may be completely making this up, but from what I get out of that is he sees a future where I could put on my Oculus Rift
and then I look at Ryan's profile, and it just makes a digital Ryan in front of me, and then all the things Ryan mm-hmm. likes and people he knows are floating around him. And, like, that's so creepy. Like, that's weird as hell.
I can't... Oh, guys, does this mean no more of our porn coming to the Oculus?
If it... It would be maybe, like, nudie pics. Surround yourself in a collage of nudie pics. Miku will be there. Don't worry.
Do that
Miku
now.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was the big bombshell of today.
Here's a dick pic in 2D. you poked me in the eye.
But what kind of got swept under the rug because of that giant announcement today is more big name game developers leaving AAA companies and going to start their own indie scene. Among them, Seth Killian, who was with Santa Monica Studios, and apparently he left back in December, but it wasn't released somehow. That's pretty impressive. And he's off to start his own indie scene. And he says they left on, like, great terms and all that. So, it's just of his own desire. And then the name that you won't know as much is Cole Rogers, who's on Drive Club, and he's the director of that game. Drive Club, the game that we talked about, I think it was last week, as going back to the drawing board. And he left to go start his own indie company, Big Red Switch Games. So,
wait, is that the team that's working on the Big Red
Button? No, there's Big Red Button, and now there's Big Red Switch Games.
What is Big Red Button?
That's
working
Sonic
on
Boom.
That we were excited about? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Big Red Switch Games is something that just got formed. Sounds like by this ex Drive Club guy. So if you're a Drive Club fan, that might be a reason to worry.
Oh, I have an extra bit of news that you didn't cover. One of the people at Sony confirmed that The Last Guardian is still in production and that they love... He said he loves talking about it.
Hey, I have something to say.
Oh.
About these games that are in production but never in production, like Half-Life 3 and The Last Guardian.
I don't think
I'm sick of them.
Did anybody say that Half-Life 3 was ever in production?
They've probably not said that it's not dead, but you know, we've never seen anything on Half-Life 3. The difference between that and Last Guardian is we saw The Last Guardian a few times.
Anyways, what I want to say is fuck both these games.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
I don't care about them anymore. I don't fucking care. There's new hotness coming out that looks more impressive. I'm done with your shit.
You say that.
Stop reminding me every few months.
You say that now, and then at E3, Last Guardian PS4 shows up, and you're like, all right, I want that.
Hasn't it been at every E3?
No, it hasn't. E3 since.
Or no, it's been mentioned at every E3.
It's never mentioned by them directly. It'll be in response. It'll be, hey, where's The Last Guardian? And then it'll usually be like, it's somewhere.
What?
Like, and Final Fantasy Versus 13.
Hey,
fuck
it's Final
that
Fantasy
game.
15 now, so you can't complain anymore.
Whatevs.
And aren't they still claiming that Rockstar game Agent is still in production?
Fuck that game.
That game's done.
That's never coming.
We've seen.
I don't care. Those games are dumb. I'm over them. I'm over it.
Yeah. Fuck that shit.
None of you are ever going to be as good as the hype.
I'm not holding my breath for any of them, but if we see them again, I'll be happy. Actually, I don't care about Half-Life. Yeah, you look at me.
That's fine. I don't think anyone can at this point. I don't care anymore. I don't care about that. I don't care about Last of Us. Last Guardian. Fuck that game. I don't even know what that game is called anymore. But fuck it.
Moving on, last week we didn't mention that the year of Luigi's officially over, so pour one out, guys.
Luigi.
So we were talking about Titanfall earlier.
The year of Luigi's
and
over?
And EA is rumored to have grabbed the distribution rights for the game.
I didn't even know Luigi yet.
You just began to know him.
I'm so sad.
So it sounds like the future of Titanfall will not be Xbox exclusive. And that's been hinted at before because Vince Zampella has said that they will, of course, make games for PS4, but just not the first Titanfall. And he specifically said the first Titanfall. So it's been, like, rumored for a while now, but here's just another one to go on top of that, which, you know, is pretty cool.
So confirmed we've got another yearly franchise. Like,
I don't know if we can say yearly because Respawn's still pretty small.
Probably yeah. Bi-yearly.
It's just, you know, another franchise.
Actually, I guess Call of Duty was bi-yearly because... It's
just the good...
Different
companies.
Different studios doing it. Yeah.
Yes.
And there are more game modes coming to Titanfall. We don't know what. It's
they're
just...
They're just a little bi-yearly.
Yeah, they're just a little bi-yearly, right?
Yeah. Bi-yearly-ish.
And here's something that got revealed due to it getting leaked. New Assassin's Creed game. Everyone...
Is anyone actually excited for this?
No.
Where is it set?
French Revolution.
Aww.
It's called Assassin's Creed Unity.
I just read The Count of Monte Cristo.
I bet it's going to be like kind of good. It's going to suck that the American Revolution was so bad.
Confirmed no, Assassin's okay Creed is unpatriotic.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but Assassin's Creed 3 had the worst main character
Fuck
I've ever
you,
played
America.
As. Worse than Desmond.
That's what I'm saying.
So the trailer is all in-game footage, or in-engine footage, and it looks pretty as shit, which is nice. It's also the first fully next-gen game. First fully, game in general, but Assassin's Creed game. And you could actually kind of tell that it was like in-engine slash in-game footage because there's a little graphical glitch on one of the roofs that they show. So, confirmed.
So, hopefully it'll be a step up from Assassin's Creed. I didn't play 4. Was 4 awesome? Javi, you said it was okay, right?
Once you get in a boat, it's really cool. Like, yeah, I think if you just sat down and really gave it the time and attention it needs, then you'll have a really good time with it. Like, to be completely honest, I haven't done that. Like,
okay.
I've
that's what a lot of my friends
like
have said.
Hours.
Is yeah. it like, once you get... Like, the boat stuff is pretty great, but...
Yeah, it's really...
Everything else is just
yeah,
Assassin's
Creed. From what I've heard, I want just a boat franchise. I want, like, that. I want like a pirate franchise.
So, I need to get into the game like I did with number 2.
Yeah, I mean, there's a... Like I said, I put in maybe 4 hours. There's a turning point. I'm like, God, this is boring. This is Assassin's Creed. This is the same shit. Go to this marker. Stand on the eagle thing and the camera rotates around you. Go to this market, you know. But there was a turning point when I started a mission and all of a sudden I found myself in the middle of the ocean on a boat and the rain's falling and there's like giant waves everywhere and there's like a whole fleet of boats everywhere. And then the mission or whatever, the objective comes up and it's like save the prisoners on each of those boats. So you jump off this giant pirate ship into this water that's fucking going crazy and you're swimming through it and then you start climbing up the boat however you'd like and then just stealth kill all the crew and you know you take them all out however you'd like. You can climb up the sails and everything and jump down and assassin kill everybody and you're just saving all these crew members and then you're swinging from boat to boat and doing it again and it's so badass. It's like nothing I'd played before.
Does
like,
that game
cool.
finally have proper stealth? Whereas the previous games had the stealth was basically you walk slow with your head pointed down.
it's the same. Prayer. It's the same. I was just saying that like that experience of like crawling up the side of a boat and like just you know, grabbing a dude and throwing him off the side and then, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know, just like that whole thing. And it looked gorgeous on PS4. So
I was wondering, because this is by the same company. And I think actually the new Splinter Cell has some of the better stealth mechanics I've experienced, which is funny considering how the trailer, but anyways, why can't they use like those stealth mechanics in Assassin's Creed? Like using the dark and shit to hide and
yeah, I think Splinter Cell does a neat trick that's also a little silly, where like when you're not visible, your
health meter on the on your back or whatever just like has bloom lighting or like a, it has lens flare or whatever.
Well, that and your goggles.
And your goggles, yeah. So like that's lighting. A good indicator of when you're hidden, so you don't get screwed when you think you're hidden. I don't think Assassin's Creed could pull that off unless maybe your sword had lens flare. But I don't know. Maybe it's just not built for that. I never really thought of it as a stealth game, but I guess there are a lot of stealth mechanics.
Well, you're supposedly an assassin. I would think you are stealthy because you gotta hide in crowds and stuff.
Yeah, you're usually stealthy until the kill. It's just a
different sort of stealth. Where instead of just hiding from people, like by yourself, you know, you're in a public place.
I do get a twisted pleasure out of just like casually walking up to a guy and then just pulling out my auto or my little secret gun and just bam in the middle of a crowd and they fall down. Like, I just love doing that. I don't know. Like, and especially like when you're in a fight, you know, like there's all these dudes with swords and they think their swords are the best thing ever, and then I just pull a gun and just drop them. I don't know.
All right, Indy.
I know.
Indy.
I'm going to show you my wicked, sick scimitar skills. Oh, I'm dead.
And there's also a second game, still rumored, hasn't been confirmed, called or like codenamed or maybe called Assassin's Creed Comet for old-gen.
Assassin's Creed Comet. It takes place during the Cold War. And we go to the moon.
It's such
and it's
a huge.
On, and it, and it's
you
on the
are
moon.
Sputnik. You play as Sputnik.
Assassin's Creed Moon.
That's just like it's smart business, right there. It's like you have all these people who have PS3s and 360s in their homes. Are you really gonna go this year without giving them an Assassin's Creed? Like, no, you got to do it.
So,
even if it's shit.
Shit still makes money.
Yeah.
Hey, who's hyped for Mirror's Edge 2?
That's funny.
You.
So there's a bunch of rumors coming out, some of them contradicting each other, so I'm just going to ignore those. But one that is sort of interesting and could totally fail hard at the same time is a persistent, always online component that is sort of Journey-esque in it has like drop-in, drop-out multiplayer. Where, like, runners will just, like, come into your world and kind of be involved in different ways. It's kind of unclear how at this point, since, you know, it's a rumor. But,
they carry the guns.
They come give you the guns that you've been asking for.
Checkmate!
And I think that could be really cool. You know, Journey's multiplayer is amazing, and everyone loves it, and, you know, everyone loves Mirror's Edge more than...
Except for Harris's friends. Yeah. Don't know where the
and
guns are.
And this is where they are.
It's true. Okay. Yeah, confirmed. Guns,
and
multiplayer.
Like, creating that network of runners in this like it's kind of semi-natural way, where it's just the players as the runners, which I think, you know, could be really cool. That's something I've wanted, but also could totally be fucked up. And it sounds like something that Watch Dogs kind of wanted to go for, but they don't talk about anymore, where in like your single player campaign, like not, it wouldn't be single player, but just the campaign of the game, you would have other people coming into your game and like fucking with your shit and like hacking other things that you didn't, and you know, like screwing you over.
Yeah, that wouldn't go terribly.
No. So, such a silly idea.
So hopefully this doesn't turn out to be that silly. So that, there's your Mirror's Edge 2 news. I'm hyped. I want it so bad. Please don't cancel that game, EA. Just because Battlefield 4 sucked Donkey Balls.
Oh, just because your server sucked Donkey Balls in it.
Please.
They did okay. Like, they managed to handle the servers in Titanfall, so.
Which makes me worry even more because it's than it could be on DICE. And DICE is the people making Mirror's Edge. So scared.
I don't know. How'd they drop the ball so badly? Battlefield 3 was great, right?
Because they really rushed
too early
it.
And it's just the netcode wasn't solid.
Why wouldn't you just copy-paste? It's the same shit. It's just better graphics.
Exactly how it is.
Yeah.
Whoa, check out these graphics.
Yeah, I don't know why EA just didn't send the memo out saying turn up the graphics on level 3, ship. Yep. Maybe it got lost somewhere. And that's pretty much all the news. So there you go. Quest Hubs.
Quest Hubs.
Yeah.
Guess do we have any?
All right. We have a lot of conversations were started in our questions that mainly revolved around just a few. So first up, Tony Audette asks why internet commenters hate him so much. All he did was write a review that dared praise Titanfall. And that kind of started a little mini conversation on just internet commenters in general. And, you know, Titanfall, I haven't seen it getting a lot of hate, actually.
Yeah, I haven't seen any.
Yeah, that was weird that he would say that.
And it's kind of the opposite, where the commenters...
Well, see, Tony's on a small site, so he's got to praise those indie games, he's perfectly those blockbusters.
Right? Yeah, so... Yeah.
Well, yeah, with he's on that site, I think.
Vagary?
No, they're not on Vagary anymore.
Oh, they've gone solo.
That's familiar.
Yeah.
Han Solo. Han
Solo. I wasn't paying attention.
So, mainly, what I've seen from Titanfall is when people compare it to Call of Duty, they're the ones that get lashed at by the commenters, not the people actually praising Titanfall. So this is different. Whole different one.
Yeah, the only people I could see lashing out at it is maybe just blind Sony fans that it's not on PS4, so it sucks. I don't know.
Yeah, there's probably some of that for sure.
Yeah, but I don't really see any reason to be angry about a good review for it.
Well, I mean, commenters be commenters, and that's how it is.
Unless, you know, you're making the argument, oh, it's only multiplayer or whatever.
Yeah, well, the people with the most extreme decisions, and typically the people with the most extreme negative decisions are going to be the most vocal. Like, if you're happy with something, you're probably not. You're probably not going to say anything about it.
Dumber.
Yeah.
If you're really happy about something, you might say something about it. If you hate something, mm-hmm. you're not going to shut up about it.
And that's probably why I didn't comment on that article criticizing Metal Gear, because I'm like, yeah, I kind of see that, and then all the comments are just calling for that chick's head.
Brittany Brombacher, asks percentage odds
Brawbreaker
Call of Duty game features mechs.
Wait, what did you say?
No, there was already mechs.
They had RC bots in Black Ops, so
RC cars count.
Mech right there.
They had drones and they had the tank turrets.
Yeah, but who think you guys think they're gonna go full on copycat?
I bet they do
one?
When you get a 7-kill streak or whatever, call in a helicopter. It is a helicopter at first, but then transforms into a mech.
Why don't they have why don't they do a Transformers game like
there
this?
You go. That's,
yeah, Michael Bay would be all over Titanfall. This shit. And you when you call in your kill streak, it's just like Bumblebee.
In all seriousness, I can see Black Ops 3, if it goes even more in the future, I can see some mechs in there.
Yeah, just...
Sci-fi
man.
Is on the
and
rise.
Then and then you see them getting litigious up in there. It's going to be awesome.
Hey, if it's fun, it's fun.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't give a shit about the... They're copying us. Go fuck yourself, it's fun.
I wish somebody would copy Mario 64.
There is someone actually creating it in a high
note. Oh, I saw that, but it looks really bad. Hey, did you see that stealth game that they showed off at GDC? It was a really, really early prototype, and it was a indie game, but it's basing it off of the first Metal Gear Solid. And it's just a bunch of basic shapes, pale colors, but
cube.
It was almost like looking at the it was almost like looking at the Soliton radar. So it was just a bunch of walls and then enemies that would walk back and forth with a cone shape in front of them. But it looked really you could throw stuff.
The dreaded cone.
The dreaded cone.
Shut up. The fun cube. Cannot be halted. Anyways, it looked cool.
What's it called? Hold on. What's it called?
I don't remember.
Oh,
Cube.
Justin Das asks, or I guess he tells us, he demands that we discuss if plot matters in video games. He says, based off the discussion of last night's podcast of Ridiculous RT, which I don't listen to. I'm sorry. I'm a bad person.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
Ridiculous Rock
that I listen to. I listen to the fuck out of that. but, you know, it depends on the video game. Like, and plot serves a different purpose in different sorts of games.
I think there's a hierarchy.
It was completely unnecessary in Titanfall. For starters.
I have a hierarchy of why I play games. It goes gameplay, style, then plot.
And, like, plot can kind of, for me, it will impact the game differently depending on what it's going for. Like, there's something like Last of Us where the gameplay kind of matches the theme of the game, and it's, like, you know, very survivalistic and not, you know, not a typical idea of fun. It's, you know, very, like, slow and not necessarily clunky, but, you know, difficult, I'd say. Like, not super easy to get, like, just do things in, you know? You actually have to...
Not super easy to get your point
exactly
across.
What Dylan said, making fun of me.
By the way, I found the game I was talking about. It's called Volume.
And then you compare that to something like Wonderful 101, where the plot is just dumb, stupid.
But it's all about the awesome gameplay, which is it's a game.
But
so game,
the dumbness is like it just gets exponentially more dumb, and it's awesome. Like it just gets bigger and stupider and cooler. So like it's, you know, it's different. You know that I'm motivated by the plot in a sense in Wonderful 101 to see how like intentionally dumb it can get. So there you go.
There you go.
Precisely.
I think that it depends. It always depends on what the game is. So, like, if a game's going for something like if storytelling's like the main focus, then of course it's important. But when it's not, then I don't know. And different games can hold different merits of the game can hold it up regardless if other parts fall short. So there's no like clear answer for it.
Yeah, I'd say it definitely hurts the game games most when it's just not necessary. Like you don't see fucking Mario going like dark and gritty and shit.
I think put it this way. Oh.
A dark and gritty doesn't mean it's a story. Yeah, it's a good story. But like Mario, you could tell a great Mario story. Like they never try to, but like I really love the dialogue in Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga and even Mario RPG. Like there's some really great character moments there, and there's memorable parts, you know, memorable conversations that are had, and so it can be done, and you don't have to go dark and gritty. Whether or not it's important, I guess it depends on what the game's going for.
Yeah. To me, I think good gameplay can make up the fact that there's a bad story. But a good story can't make up the fact that there's bad gameplay.
And then if you just have bad everything, you're really fucked.
Well, then you're Dragon Age 2. Beyond Two Souls.
Never forget.
I won't.
Game's so awesome.
David Cage. See, David Cage had both a bad story and a bad gameplay.
And he made something that I will forever remember because of that. So thank you, David Cage. I'm glad you got that award from France.
God bless you.
Let's see. I have to sort through all these.
I think what he was referencing with that question was that guy that said that stories are overrated mm-hmm. in video games, or storyline is overrated in video game. I don't know how true that is. I mean, like I said, it depends. You know,
yeah, like you can absolutely tell a good story in games, and story actually absolutely has a place in games, and
I think. I don't know what context that guy said that, because if he's saying it in the
context... He probably played Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah, but if he's saying it in the context of, hey, this game's meant to be fun, so who fucking cares about our story? Stories is overrated when you're making a game. In that context, yeah, he's right. I mean, like, if you're making a game about gameplay...
Ultimately, yeah, what are we here for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, but... And that's a black and white question that I don't think has a right answer either. Like, what are we here for? I don't know. It depends what I'm putting in, what I'm expecting.
Well, I just,
you know,
at the end of the day, I don't want people to waste my time. So if, you know, I can have a good time in your game, like, you know, I have fun with something like Resident Evil 5. You know, I think that game's fun.
But give a shit about the fucking story.
Every time a cutscene rolls around, you know, shut the fuck up. Like, this is dumb and not the good dumb.
But if you bought Resident Evil 5 on day one and it was just the gameplay and it just went from one gameplay section to another gameplay section,
it'd be awesome.
You want those cutscenes. I mean, they're stupid and fun and...
It's hilarious.
Yeah, like... I think Ouroboros, complete global saturation, all that
I think
shit.
People
like,
kind of missed the fact that the first few Resident Evils were completely ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
Does no one remember the opening cutscene from the first game?
Every cutscene from the first game?
Every cutscene from the first game?
Yeah.
Every line of dialogue, how badly it was done, that was part of the game's charm. I've come to expect that all Resident Evil games are inherently cheesy, and just schlocky.
Yeah, it's almost like they were scary on accident.
There's time and place for everything, is what this all boils down to.
Yeah.
So do a good job with your games.
Yeah.
And I think that's our questions.
Hooray!
All quest tubes.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Well, I guess if you would like to find us, you can go to GameOverNation.com, check out all our old podcasts. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, we're at GameOverNation. That's where you can send most of your questions. Or you can also go to Facebook, Facebook.com/GameOverNation. We also ask for questions there. So feel free to do either. Do not email us. We will never, ever read them. At least not at the main GameOverNation email, because nobody checks that anymore. So yeah, go to those other places. That's where you can find us.
You can
so,
send questions throughout the week. You know, you don't have to do it on the day of the podcast.
Yeah, you don't have to wait till we ask. You can just hit us up on Twitter.
If you listen to this podcast like the second it comes out, and at the end of it, you want to ask why am I so stupid? Write it. Send that to shit to Twitter right away. There you go.
Yeah, man. We'll see it.
Yeah, right there. And I'll talk about it on the next podcast, and I'll explain in a step-by-step manner of how dumb I am and why.
Yeah. Yep. If he can read it, because he is so dumb.
The only reason we wouldn't read it is if I can't read that day. So, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you for listening to episode 122 of Game Over Nation.
It's long.
It is long, but I think we had some good convos.
Good, strong, good
long strong dong,
and we got the friction.
I hope we dropped some knowledge.
Has some fun with Miku.
No, you can't anymore, Ryan. VR is dead. Anime is dead.
Gotcha. I heard. Facebook killed VR.
Way to go, Mark Zuckerman.
All right, fellas. Well. Until next week, goodbye.
See you.
Goodbye.